Well, it's a very good morning to Rory Steyn, the co-founder of NSA Global, for our Monday sports show. I say good morning, Rory. You are in the US. Early hours of the morning. Are you feeling sharp still?
Yeah, you know, I said to you when we undertook to do this, I mean, we can hardly start it and then fall off the bus on the second one. And I said, listen, Alec, I'm going to be jet lagged anyway. And so it turned out to be, it's 2 a.m, but I'm awake and I've had a cup of coffee. I'll just try and get a couple of hours sleep before I go and speak at this conference. Nashville, Tennessee is the most extraordinary place. I had no idea how big it is. It's amazing. Yeah.
Nashville, Tennessee, the home of country music. Well, and I'm sure you're going to be enjoying some of that as well. But my goodness.
I have already. I had 2 days. Yeah, yeah.
Uh-huh. What a feast we had over the weekend of sport. I know that you weren't able to catch up on the Nedbank Challenge, but interesting to see a young South African emerging there and coming second. All about rugby, though. The Blitzbokke winning at last at the Sevens in Cape Town. Have you had much to do with those tournaments, those seven-a-side tournaments?
No, only as a spectator. My family and a couple of mates went down when Kyle played for Scotland. In that tournament about, oh man, it must be 5-6 years ago now even. And you know, there was a bit of chat on the BizNews sports group about Spain. And I remember Scotland losing to Spain in the quarterfinal that year. And I couldn't fathom this. I'm thinking Spain, but look how good they are. And, you know, and good on them. That can only bode well for Spain's development in, you know, in 15s and beyond. I think if you've got proper athletes and they just, and you get a good coach who can, you know, who can teach them the finer points, the niceties of rugby, you know, you can play sevens. Our Blitzbox proved that. I love the one year, it might have been last year, we lined up for the anthems and it was like the tall Afrikaans boys and the short Capetonian stepmasters. And then it went like this, you know, it was like a New York skyline going down the line. And that, you know, that's what makes sevens. I think it's fantastic. I see that there's some people saying that, you know, we shouldn't accord it the same status. I think sevens is an extraordinary sport and certainly a great way to get into rugby full time. You know, what's great about sevens, Alec, is that as the two teams finish a game and they run off, the next two teams run on. So there's constant action. It keeps the crowd engaged. It's only 7 minutes aside with a 1 minute halftime. I think it's a great way to watch rugby. And it's an Olympic sport. Let's not forget, you win Olympic medals in sevens now.
But how come the South Africans had done so badly? They re-emerged around the time of the Olympics, but we were champions, then fell all the way down. But it does, clearly, with this victory, it does show that they're back.
It does. And I think that, like, I hate to say it, and I don't want to be that guy, but rugby is cyclical. I mean, we saw that great All Black team of the, you know, the 2011-2015 era, and now we're seeing our Springboks there, and we're going to dominate for a while. But, you know, those cycles turn, and I think the Blitzboks were on one of those cycles where we were top of the world. We had, you know, when Quagga Smith and Werner Kok and those guys were all still playing. Siyabelo Sanatla, I think he's still the number two highest ever try scorer in world sevens. And I see he's coming back to the Stormers soon, which is great news. But when we had that team, you know, the Kyle Browns and the Philip, what's his surname, the current coach, we were on top of the world. And then, you know, those players, some of them migrated to 15s. Some of them fell out of the game, and it just takes a while to blood those youngsters and get them up to speed. But with the factory that we have down there in Stellenbosch, Alec, it was only a matter of time before the Blitzboks were going to bounce back. And I'm glad to see they have. The crowds haven't quite bounced back, which is a little sad, because there was a time that, you know, that was the number one ticket in town in early December. Maybe what they need to do is just push it a bit later, as somebody was suggesting, like the $1 million did, or the Nedbank Challenge golf. They pushed it back from that first week in December, you know, where families are still getting over the final school exams and wait for the holidays to start proper, wait for all the tourists to hit Cape Town and then fill that stadium. That said, it does surprise me a little that it wasn't packed out, because you can say whatever you like about Capetonians, but they really do get behind their sports teams. And they, you know, when you're playing cricket at Newlands, you're going to get a great crowd in. When the Stormers play, even though they're not great at the moment, you know, you can put 40,000 into the DHL stadium, as I was saying last week, when the Bulls come down to play, or there's a big derby. So Capetonians love their sport. Little surprising to see what the attendance was. Not sure why. I don't know whether it's a ticket price thing. But if you look at the Betway SA20, when they conceived of that league, Alec, they decided that in order to have a great tournament, you need a crowd in there, because that brings the fire, that brings the fierce. How do you get a crowd into your grounds? Drop the ticket prices. So then families can bring, you know, mom, dad, and the kids for 30 Rand or 50 Rand, and you can go and watch cricket. That was exactly what they did. And I don't know who sets the ticket prices. I don't know whether it's a sponsor thing and it's World Rugby or HSBC. But my advice would be drop the prices, make it a week or so later. I don't know whether that's possible in the Global Sevens calendar, and get the crowds back into that that tournament, because there's a lot to do in Cape Town. So you need to create a reason why you go to the DHL Stadium to watch the Blitzbokker.
Well, it was good to see that at least the Stormers played along by going off to Gqeberha to play their game there, although it was a nice return. So Butler was back on in the second half late, but these international teams, and particularly the French teams in the Investec Champions Cup, are going to be tough to beat, So it proved for the Stormers.
And, you know, and what a great weekend of rugby it was, Alec. I mean, the quality of rugby across that Investec Champions Cup this past weekend was extraordinary. And those games that we all said were tough to call, and we didn't know whether the coach was going to go with a full team or a second side or an understrength team, proved to be so, it made it very, very difficult to predict the outcomes. But my goodness, what a... it's so good to see all these stars that you're normally used to seeing in a French shirt. Now you see Louis Bialbiere, you know, playing for Bordeaux. And how has that guy got gas? I'd love to see a foot race between him and Grant Williams, because they've got to be the two quickest players in world rugby at the moment.
It was interesting. Starting off with Bath, you did say that La Rochelle were probably going to be stronger. They just edged it there. Very easy win for Clermont against Benetton, and then the Sharks and the Exeter Chiefs. You're in the US. Did you have a chance to catch up on that game? The Sharks really, really good.
No, they were excellent. I watched most of the games on highlights. I did manage to catch the Blitzbox final against France last night live. That was only 11 in the morning where I am, but, I saw most of the games on highlights, which is not ideal, because you can't see the general play. You can't understand, you know, the substitutions and who's coming on for whom and why. And as another commentator said, there were more cards than Christmas during those games. I mean, who was it that went down to 13 players? Was it Leinster?
Yeah,
it was Leinster. And the Sharks. And there were two red cards as well given, to one of the French sides with those two clumsy tackles by their lock pairing that just knocked. I mean, red cards are, you know, you get two red cards, you're seriously on the back foot. But despite all of the cards and the refereeing, and the quality of rugby was outstanding.
So the Sharks have actually set out their stall, which is good. At least they had one South African team winning. But my goodness, the Bulls looked out of sorts in that gale force wind at Saracens. You said Saracens would be hard to beat, and so they were.
I called Saracens winning whether the Bulls sent a full strength team or an understrength team, because they are very, very good at home. And we are just not used to those conditions. You know, Alec, the point has been made that we've come into these two tournaments in the last 3 years, but there's a massive history behind European Cup rugby, and we don't get that. Now, when you're starting to play in December and January in Europe, that is what you've got to do. You've got to be able to play in snow, horizontal rain, being driven by wind straight into your face. Your fingers are stiff. You can't catch the ball. And those guys all know that. And in fact, they really should. And the best thing is that their spectators get down to the ground and come and sit there in that. Such is the passion for, you know, this level of European rugby. And as I said, you're seeing all these stars that you're used to seeing in a Springbok shirt or in an England shirt or in a Scottish one or a French one. And now you see them back in their, in their kind of home bases. And it's wonderful. And I think it elevates the level of rugby. You know, we've seen that in our domestic rugby. When you've got Springboks playing in the Currie Cup, or back in, you know, even in their URC franchises, it lifts the youngsters because they aspire to be where those guys are. And I think we saw that. But to go to, and that's London. That's not even in the north of France where it's properly cold. It's difficult for our guys. And they've, you know, we're going to have to get used to that. I mean, I thought it was going to be a close match. I think I called Saracens by 4 or 5 points, certainly a losing bonus point. And they smacked the Bulls. And I don't think it's only due to the conditions, but the conditions were certainly a factor. And you remember back in the Super Rugby days, the Bulls were never great tourists. They were never great on the road. But to go there into those freezing, abject conditions, that's a different story. So we're going to have to get used to that because we should be competing there.
The other thing that struck me about watching these games is how cosmopolitan the European sides are, especially the French sides, where they bring in the Argentinians, the Kiwis, the Aussies. They Fijians. Pluck from all over the Fijians, from all over the world. And we taking them on, you would have thought just superficially that we've got all these Springboks who are playing. But my goodness, it's like Springboks against the rest of the world. And the rest of the world have played together often. So it's going to be a heck of a tournament for a South African team to win, as currently constituted.
Absolutely. And I mean, to win that tournament, Alec, you've got to beat Leinster, who are Ireland, you know, in all but name. There's very, very few Ireland players who don't play their rugby in Leinster. And you've got to beat those huge French units. Now, South Africa is known for our physicality and the size of our forwards. I mean, you really don't want to run onto a field knowing that you've got to face Oxenchair, Buckies, Buerta, and even Itzebeth. But have you seen the size of some of those French forwards? They are enormous men with huge packs. So if you don't have the depth that you need to compete in Europe, you're going to get wasted up front, even if you're the Bulls. I mean, that Saracens lineout was superb, I thought.
So when we look ahead to the next week and the games that are coming up, I'd obviously like to get your insights on where you see those going. Perhaps we can kick off with the fixtures for the next week in the Investec Champions Cup. The first one is Castres against Munster. Where would you go on that one? That's Friday night.
I'm going to go Munster for an away win there. You know, they really needed to pick up their game, but Munster have a very, very proud record in European rugby. They're very difficult to beat in Thomond Park, but Castro were poor, and I don't know whether they sent an understrength team. So, you know, French teams are interesting. They seem to be way better at home and very poor away, and they were. Castro were poor this past weekend, so maybe when they play at home, they'll, you know, have reason to lift their game. But the way Munster played at home this past weekend, I'm going to back them to, you know, to beat Castro by 5 to 7 points, Alec.
The Sale Sharks against Racing 92?
Sale Sharks by 10, giving them home ground advantage. I mean, they were good against Glasgow in Glasgow, and those Dupreer brothers were all firing for the same reason that I just mentioned. I think that when they're at home, they'll feel that they owe their spectators and their coaching staff a win, because they weren't bad against Glasgow. Glasgow were just much better. Glasgow was superb.
So your son's team played some champagne rugby there.
They really did play champagne rugby. I mean, the way they were throwing that ball around, going coast to coast, and not just coast to coast, up and down the field, but the width that Glasgow play with is so dangerous because they get that ball wide so quickly, and they've got serious wheels, and you've got, you know, Huey Pilotto in the midfield. So, you know, you got to watch out when you play Glasgow. They um, they truly have become an all-round side. And they win by scoring tries, Alec. I mean, what's not to love about that?
Mm. Oh, a little bit like the Sharks seem to be winning by scoring tries and that individual brilliance. Brilliant. But it'll be interesting to see how the Sharks travel. The Bulls are home to Northampton Saints, so maybe a chance to get their fans happy again.
Well, they're going to struggle to do that, only in that the Northampton Saints coach has announced that he's bringing a full strength team to South Africa, because what he wants to do is, quite wisely, I think, is spend a bit of time on the road with the entire squad. So he's going to bring, 30-something players, and they're going to use this, you can't call it a tour, but this visit to South Africa as a bit of team building away from the spotlight, away from the English media, I guess. So that's going to be a tough one, because remember, they're defending champions. Yes, the Bulls are the if there's such a word as the defending runners up, but I think that they will be smarting from that loss in the final to Glasgow at Loftus at altitude with that passionate fan base. So I think they're going to be wanting to put a few things right. So it makes for a great game. So I don't know, Alec. I think I've got to go with the Bulls bouncing back and showing a bit of South African resilience there. Not by much, though.
So it's going to be a heck of a game, Bulls against Northampton Saints, but the Bulls have got their hands full. How would you go with your prediction there?
I think the Bulls, they are obviously smarting from that loss to Glasgow in the URC final. So they have a few things to put right against Northern Hemisphere teams coming to Loftus. So that's going to be a cracker, probably. Perhaps the choice of the weekend, but I'm going to go with the Bulls stepping up and showing a little bit of, South African backbone and physicality. So even though Northern Saints are defending champions in the Gallagher Premiership, bringing a full strength team, good on them, I'm going to go with the Bulls, but not by much, Alec.
Ulster against Bordeaux?
Bordeaux. Did you see how good Bordeaux were? Again, that little Louis Bielbiere, has he got gas? And they're not in a good place, Ulster, as you saw from that proper smack they got from Leinster. So I'm going to go for an away win there. I'm going to go with the boys from the wine region, Bordeaux Begley.
Shark supporters, definitely the game of the weekend. Leicester Tigers at home to the Sharks.
Yeah, I don't know why Pollard didn't play. Does anybody know why he didn't start? I don't know whether he's injured, but I'm going to go with the Sharks there. You know, with as I said, when they played Glasgow in the URC, I made the slightly tongue-in-cheek comment that they had about 148 Springboks in their team that day. If they do the same thing, I cannot see Leicester Tigers living with them. So good on the Sharks. You know, they need a couple of – what the Sharks need more than anything, Alec, is consistency. They've got the players. The point has been made that they don't necessarily have the bench that is required at this level. So depth could be an issue. But if they start with their big guns, and just get those youngsters fired up to disprove the theory that they don't have the depth, well, then I think the Sharks should take that by about 12 points.
Wow. So relatively comfortable.
Yeah.
Because Leicester were very competitive for a long time in their game.
Long time. I mean, did you? Yeah, I think they were ahead. I think they were 14 points they up were. At one point. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Then Leinster against Clermont.
It's going to be a good game, but home ground advantage is going to pull Leinster through with all of their Irish stars, in the RDS Stadium in Dublin. Again, Leinster by 12.
Harlequins versus the Stormers. Well, at least Harlequins lost, so the Stormers aren't going straight into the Lions' den. They've perhaps have a relatively easier game than they could have had. What's your call on that? Yeah.
Well, the Stormers also lost, and I think the Stormers are not in a happy space at the moment. Also missing quite a few of their, of their big guns like Frans Malherbe and others through injury. Harlequins at home. Different proposition. I'm going to go with home ground here. I'm going to say Harlequins by 8 or 9 points there.
La Rochelle against Bristol Bears.
Oh, you cannot bet against those big boys from La Rochelle. They've probably got the biggest pack in French rugby. They are enormous men. And, you know, as I said, if not Toulouse, then Toulon or La Rochelle are the next best, although Bordeaux are actually in that position on the log at the moment. But I'm going to go with a La Rochelle win there by 15 points.
Benetton, the Italian representative against Bath.
Bath. Benetton are struggling. Benetton were poor on this past weekend, although, you know, to be fair, they were away. But, I mean, Benetton is like, and you actually, I must apologize to you, Ellie, because you asked me this question last week, and I think I was busy interrupting you, and I didn't answer it. So you said, in the way that Leinster or Ireland, is that, you know, is that the case in other countries? Well, yes, it is, because Benetton are largely Italy. There aren't that many players from Zebre that, you know, that make the Italian side. And as we were talking last week, that's a good side at the moment, Italy, because of the pipeline established by Franco Smith. So I think it's surprising that Benetton haven't been good in Europe, but they haven't ever been good in Europe. So maybe this is an opportunity, but I don't think so. I don't think they've got the firepower. Remind me who's coming to Parma to play that? Bath. Yeah. Finn Russell at 10. Bath have got a number of their big guns back. Again, what team is Bath going to send? It's difficult to get there. I can tell you that from personal experience, going there to watch Glasgow. You've got to charter a plane and basically fly into Parma. You can't take commercial flights because you've got to take too many of them. It's quite isolated there in the north of Italy. So, but I'm going to go with Bath on the road, 10 points.
Toulon against your team, the Glasgow Warriors.
Yeah. Now you're putting me on the spot. Toulon at home, undoubtedly they are going to front load their team with all of their French big guns. But I have to back my boys there, Alec. And the rugby that Glasgow are playing, I'm going to go with Glasgow by 5. We are Warriors. Whatever it takes. Come on, boys.
Start Francais against Saracens.
Very tough game to call that. Start Francais weren't great. They started well. Saracens were superb, as we said, against the Bulls in that dreadful weather. But I'm going to go with Start Francais by 3.
So another tight,
yeah. Because the Saracens will pitch up, Alec. They'll turn up that day, yeah.
And Exeter Chiefs against Toulouse.
You've got to go with Toulouse. I mean, how extraordinary were they? Yes, they scored. They won by 40 points. But I called them by 20, I think. But they were outstanding, man. Antoine Dupont, what is there more to say about that guy? He was brilliant. Hard to bet against Toulouse. Now, I'm not sure that in this instance, Toulouse will take a full-strength side. This is a typical case where Toulouse may choose to take their second stringers. And again, to answer your question from last week, Toulouse have got a lot of French national team players in that side. And I think they've got enough depth to actually go on the road and win. So whether they go with the Duponts of this world and the Emile Intermac, his French halfback partner, on the road is an interesting question. But even if they go with a second string sign, I'm going to go with Toulouse by 8 or 9.
Well, I think the one issue that we have for those of us who are playing in the predictor game is watch the lineups. You can't really decide until you have the lineups. But Rory Steyn, thank you. Middle of the night, in fact, early hours of the morning where you are in Nashville, Tennessee. And we look forward to hopefully you being home next week and we can pick up there again. But thank you for your insights on this Monday sports show. I'm Alec Hogg from biznews.com.
Thanks, Alec.